God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Welcome to the house of God. And I would like to extend a special welcome to those who are visiting. I'm also looking forward to meeting with you following the service. So thank you for coming out. Yes, I know it was a time change. Maybe it was confusing to some of you, but you have made it. I'm happy. Yeah, inside your bulletin, you have a bulletin insert about donating blood on Monday, March 23rd at 2:30 p.m. From 2:30 p.m. to 6:30. So you are welcome to come and help in donating the blood. And also, I want to extend an invitation to some of you who are interested in doing a play on Monday, Thursday. We need 12 disciples. 12 disciples. And nothing to memorize. We have manuscripts, so you can read it. It would be beautiful. So Tim and I will approach you. Tim will be on the play. I'll be on the play. And we'll come and approach you to come and help be part of the disciples. And we will approach anybody, even ladies. And I know some of you have some concern about coronavirus. If you don't feel comfortable hugging or shaking hands, feel free to wave or do the Wahoo foot shake. Yeah, you can do that. And yeah, so I want to turn this over to Linda. And while Linda is coming, please sign the notepad and pass it to person sitting next to you.
Please stand as you're able and join in the call to worship. Lift up your souls to the Lord.
We lift them up to our God in whom we trust.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your path.
Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation.
And remain standing and joining the hymn, Sweet, Sweet Spirit, number 334 in your hymnal, or the words are on the screen. I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment and for you to greet your neighbors with the peace of Christ, as Ezekiel says, with maybe a smile and a wave or that other thing that I'm not sure what was. Morning. Happy pajama day. All right.
All right, I brought some blocks here today because I. Oh. I'm going to show you how good I am at building towers. Are you guys ready to see this? I'm going to stack these blocks up. Look, three tall. Oh, oops. Hold on. Three tall. Oh, nope. Hold on. I can do this. No. Come on. Are you guys good at building towers?
Yes.
How do you build your towers? This isn't really working for me. Oh, you think? Should I lay them down like this, maybe? Ooh, that looks a little bit better. Looks a little bit more stable. Maybe we should do like this. Anyone have ideas of making it more stable? How do you do it, Kennedy? Glue? That would definitely help me. How do you do it? Ooh, yeah. This looks like a really stable foundation. Look at that. Wow, we've got all of our blocks in our tower. I can't even shake it and it's not totally fallen. That was so helpful. Thank you guys so much for your help. I was trying to build that tower, and I thought I was doing well, but it was not really working out for me. And you know what? This tower makes me think of this guy that is in our Bible story today. And his name is Nicodemus. And he comes to talk to Jesus because he wants to know why Jesus can do all the amazing things that Jesus does. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that it's about being led by God's Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that to really be led by the Holy Spirit, he has to be born from above with God's Holy Spirit. And basically what Jesus tells Nicodemus is that he needs to rebuild his life with a stronger foundation. And that that strong foundation comes from a life in God. That when we just try to kind of build things up on our own, they're going to fall over. But if we have a strong foundation in Jesus, just like our strong foundation at the bottom of our tower, it's going to lead to a life filled with God's love and God's strength. And you know what? Starting a new tower over is kind of hard, right? And it's frustrating when you've built something and then it falls over or someone knocks it over. That's hard, right?
I know that feeling very well.
Yeah, it's really hard. But we know that sometimes the things that we've built up in our own lives, we need to knock them over so that we can let Jesus and the Holy Spirit come into our lives and help us to build a life that that is cemented in God's Holy Spirit. What does a life that's cemented in God look like? Alex? What is the cement of our faith? What are some things that we can do to build a strong foundation in God? What do you think, Mason? Yeah. But why are those things? I heard you had one, Alex. Singing prayers, singing praise. Our children's choir is about to sing their praises. What other things can we do to show that God is at the foundation of our lives? Okay. Can we go to church? Is that what you're going to say, Candy? I'm sorry, I stole your idea. Alex? Yeah, well, you know, we can put things in our lives to remind us about God. Maybe if there's a picture of Jesus hanging in our house, every time we see it, we'll remember that God should be at the center of our lives. You have an idea, Nolan? Yeah, helping other people, like if they're moving, is a great way to share God's love and to keep it at the center of your life. What else, Kennedy? Yeah, saying prayers. These are all great ways that we can focus on bringing God to the center of our lives and building a new life in God with a strong foundation. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus, who teaches us how to rebuild our lives with your help
so that we can live like Jesus. Amen.
All right, if you're in the children's choir, stay up here. Say some of your things.
Good, you know, encouragement to those kids. Amen. And now, let's turn our attention to the celebrations and concerns. I think part of celebration for today is yesterday. Men, you know, the men of our church, Lenexa UMC, launch a men's fellowship. And for now, we will be doing it once a month. The next one will be in April at 8 a.m. in the Wesley Room. And if you have any question, you can ask our president, Mr. Eric Troy. Yeah. And also, let's pray for those who are not feeling well and pray for the countries that have been affected by coronavirus. Pray, you know, for unity in our country and our leaders. Pray for our troops. I want to give you a moment of silent prayer. Trusting God, God of wonders and majesty, God of rain and sunshine, God of all creation, we have come to you this morning to worship you and to honor you because of your mercy and love upon each one of us. We have come to worship you because you have answered our prayers, you have been good to us. Thank you for the gift of life and gift of salvation that we have. Thank you for the traveling mercies that you have given to each one of us. Lord, we have come to you to be guided by you and to experience the joy of salvation. We also want to thank you for the many blessings you have given to each one of us and to our church. And we pray that you continue to bless us and to enable us to be your feet, your hands, to be your mouthpiece in reaching out into the community. Thank you for the ministries that you have given us in this church. And we pray that you continue to minister through each one of us in those ministries. Even the new ministries that we have, we pray that you help those ministries to grow. Lord Jesus, our hearts also goes to those who are not feeling well this morning. For those who are going through treatment, those who are soon going to visit the doctor, we pray that you bring restoration to them. We want to lift up also those countries and those people who have been affected by coronavirus. We pray that you bring this virus under control. Lord Jesus, we want to pray also for peace around the world. We pray for the troops who are serving and protecting this country. We pray that you be with them wherever they have been posted to. Lord, we also pray for our service today. We pray that you come in thy fullness and minister to each one of us. On this second Sunday of Lenten journey, we pray that you teach us to follow the humble way of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who was crucified and he rose on the third day. Be with us and help us as we observe this season. For I pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Please join me in the community prayer. Heavenly Father, we have not always been patient and loving one another as you are with us. Forgive us, we pray, and enable us to witness to your love. By the eyes of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
Today's scripture lesson starts in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where we hear the story of Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And then we continue in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word of God for the people of God.
You know, I'm having trouble trusting myself anymore. I mean, it started quite innocently. I was chewing gum and accidentally bit my tongue. I mean, really bit it. Like, took a chunk out of it. I got tears in my eyes and I cursed myself and it bled and made a big mess. But I forgave myself. It was an accident, right? So I forgot about it and moved on. But the next day, the same thing happened, except this time it was ice cream. It was a bowl of chocolate chip cookie dough. Oh, so good. But I came down on my tongue in that same spot, which is easy to do because, of course, it's still all swollen from the day before. So I bit that already bitten spot and just about hit the ceiling. Everyone around me thought that I'd lost a tooth or something. It hurt so bad. And again, I was so mad at myself. But once again, I forgave myself and I forgot all about it. Until the next day. Turkey sandwich. I bit that already twice bitten spot and yelped like a dog at a shock collar. How could I be so stupid as to hurt myself three times, 3 days in a row? So I was really mad at myself because my tongue was beginning to look like such a war zone. It almost needed stitches. You know, I considered removing it entirely so that my teeth would be denied another crack at it. But then I couldn't talk to you all like this, and that wouldn't be any fun. So I decided not to hold a grudge against myself. But you know what? It's hard to stay mad at yourself. I looked at myself and realized that myself really wasn't trying to hurt me. It was just an accident. Even though I kept doing it repeatedly, and even though it hurt worse every time, I just had this way of giving myself the benefit of the doubt. So I let myself off the hook and gave myself another chance. It's been 3 days now since I bit my tongue, and the swelling is almost gone. I think myself has repented and changed my ways, at least for a while. Will it happen again? Oh, you betcha. I'll get too eager during a chicken sandwich and strike again. Will I forgive myself yet again? Sure. I've forgiven myself. I've already done it. I've forgiven myself 7 times or 70 or 490. I don't even keep track of my own offenses anymore. I tried once, but I lost track. You know, what's the point? In the end, I always forgive myself because somehow deep inside, I guess I know that I'm stuck with myself. So I always forgive.
And what does it mean to be born again? It may mean to forgive yourself. And that is very important, to forgive yourself. It may mean, you know, to receive forgiveness. And it may mean repentance. I believe everyone here is familiar with the word born again. I don't have to define it for you. It is so popular that it has been used in all kinds of situations that had nothing to do with repentance and forgiveness. For example, if a football team has a bad season, and next year the coach changes the players and they do better again. It can be said it has been reborn. The local news would say it has been born again. Yesterday, I heard somebody at the grocery store said, healthcare plan will be reborn. So I got to thinking, if all this happened in the way the book of John puts it, the world will be different. How nice to know that football teams and health insurances are born again. But obviously, that is not the way people use the term. Rather, they are referring to a kind of renewal. And here, Nicodemus is introduced to us as a leader of the Jewish people who comes to Jesus at night with a big question. How can a man be born when he is old? How can a man be born again when he is old? Yes, so Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He needed help. He had some hard questions. So you see, Nicodemus, being a religious man, he was going through some motions. He's a religious person with religious tradition and sanctity, and still living in ignorance. I wonder, did he lose it, or he didn't get it in the first place? So he comes to Jesus at night. Why at night? I don't know. Probably Jesus was too busy with the crowd during the day, and at night is the only best time to come to him. Maybe Nicodemus, being a religious leader, he didn't want anybody else to see him see his ignorance. So he comes secretly at night to see Jesus. I don't know. But you see, we can tell by the question that he's asking that he was somebody who was going through motions. He was somebody who was not sure about his salvation. So you see, motion can occur to us in so many different aspects of lives. For example, in our jobs, in our relationships, and even in our faith. We go through the motions over and over again in life. At one time, being a Christian was quite exciting, but time has gone by and the enthusiasm of our faith is not quite there anymore. Being a Christian can become stale. And not just our Christianity, but even your personality can become stale. It can become stale on the job, on the things that you normally enjoy doing, like playing golf or swimming. Yes, we can get burned out. We all know that feeling. If you are a student, you know inside yourself when you are going through the motions at school. You know those feelings, especially when you are getting close to spring break or in the middle of May, when you are being with the same teachers for almost 9 months and you are getting close to the end of semester. And now the inner enthusiasm is not there anymore. You look forward for the summer. So such a thing can happen. The same thing can happen also in your Christian life, where you go through motion with God again and again. You come on Sunday morning, you experience the same old routine, and sitting on the same old pews, listening to the old sermon from the old pastor, sitting, you know, with the same faces you see every Sunday, and having the same old liturgies and the same old music, holding the same old bulletin. It is the same old stuff, Sunday after Sunday. You see, when it happens like that, it is possible to forget that we are believers. The inner heart is not quite alive. Nicodemus was a person like that. He was a man who was going through the motion of religion without the inner enthusiasm for God. Yes, Jesus told him that there were two parts of being born again. There are two parts of being born again. And in other words, that is being born of the water and the spirit. Two parts. In verse 5, Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the spirit." It is a combination of those two parts that result in being born again. The two terms are not in contrast with each other, but combined to form a parallel with the phrase, born again. Two different things, talking about the same things. Yes, water and the spirit. Two different things, but they are talking about the same thing. And since Jesus Christ expected Nicodemus to understand the truth in verse 10, it must have been something he was familiar with. Why do I say so? In the Old Testament, symbolically, water and spirit often refer spiritual renewal and cleansing. They were used for spiritual renewal and cleansing. In the book of Ezekiel, for example, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 24 to 27, it describes Israelites' restoration to the Lord by the new covenant by saying, "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." So it was surely this passage of scripture that Jesus had in mind, showing being born again to be an Old Testament truth which Nicodemus should have been acquainted. But apparently, Nicodemus was not acquainted with it. Or perhaps he had forgotten it. In order to be spiritually alive, we must be washed by the waters of God daily. Because we are sinful by nature. We are human beings. We need to be washed of our sins. All the time. Why all the time? Because by nature, human beings are sinful. I remember the other day, one of the Church of God pastors whom we mentor each other through the phone called me and asked me, why do people come and visit our worship services for a short while and then they quit coming? Yes, it is not an issue to get them through the door, but keeping them on the pews is a problem. And we engage them in the ministry. We love them. We pray for them. And then all of a sudden, they stop coming. Why? I told him, you know, church is not a perfect place. Some people go to church for the sake of it. Some members have been there long enough to just go through motions. They might even get bored at the church, or, you know, going to church for them might be boring. And then among this group of religious people, some religious choker is going to hurt the new members and make them don't want to come to church anymore. Did I tell you that I attended a United Methodist Church for a while? And I even joined the choir. I was the only black man in that choir. So I was there for some months. And then one Sunday after church, this old lady came and asked me, did you know that there is a black Baptist church down the road? I told her, yes, yes, I know. And then she told you, you may need to try. What does that imply to me? You are not welcome. She may not have, you know, bad intention. Maybe she was trying to help me in some ways. But the way I took it, I probably took it wrongly. So that is what can happen when people have gone through motion. They are not even sent. They don't, you know, they are not conscious of what they are saying. They are not conscious of even what they do in the church. So, you know, can you imagine, you have come to church looking for some people to love you and to pray and to worship God with them. Then all of a sudden, you know, some people turn against you. They bite you. They chew you in the name of Jesus. And yet you thought they are Christians. So church people can be nasty. Except in our church. I have not seen any nasty attitude in our church. We are the finest people here in Lenexa. Everybody say that we are a friendly church. Yeah, I have asked those people who have come to visit. They say we are a friendly church. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, I really mean it. They say we are a friendly church. So I tell you what, there is a difference between a religious person and a Christian. A Christian is a person who has some level of spiritual maturity, a follower of Jesus Christ, and characterized by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as it is stated in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And a religious person is somebody who is like Nicodemus, having a resemblance of a Christian, but not a real Christian. And there is nothing you can do about them. There is nothing about you, there's nothing you can do about those who hurt you. Except we need to forgive them whenever they hurt our feelings. It is important to forgive those who hurt us, because if we don't, it will hurt our relationship with God. Whatever people do to you is not worth it to impact your relationship with God. They should not stop you from relating to God, from serving God, from worshiping God. I don't know what they did to you. It is not worth it to affect your ability to participate in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
So as I bring this to the closing this morning, let me encourage you with the word from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, where it says, "When people are happy, they smile. But when they are sad, they look depressed." In other words, when you have a broken spirit, and probably poured, it is hard to worship God. Everybody is singing and smiling, and you are looking sad because your spirit is broken. This morning, I want to encourage you to allow God to wash you today and give you a happy spirit. And that is true of everybody. That is true of you and I. There are no exceptions. You can be a person who is 15 years old, or 25 years old, 75, and you have a weakness in your faith, like Nicodemus. The Nicodemuses who are here this morning don't have to be older or more than 65 years old. Nicodemus can be anybody. You never become so religious that you outgrow the need for daily wash of your sin and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You and I need daily wash of sin. That is what Lent is about, and that is what God is calling us to do during this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now we continue to worship God in our tithes and offerings. Join me in the spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love and care upon each one of us. We want to thank you also for the message that you have brought to us today. We pray that you help us to be revived. For those who have their faith waned and those who have lost enthusiasm, I pray that you restore the joy of salvation to them. Lord, we want to thank you also for what we were able to bring before you this morning. We pray for those who brought that you bless the labor of their hands and bless whatever they are doing for your own glory. And even those who didn't have anything to give today, we pray that you bless them too in abundance. Lord, may you multiply this gift for the expansion of your kingdom. And also, as we leave the sanctuary today, we pray that your love and mercies may follow us until we meet again next Sunday. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive the benediction. Go forth into the world, and may we journey together with God through this land, and that we may find enthusiasm in Jesus Christ for our faith. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus Christ go with each one of you. Amen.